The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Praise God. Another wonderful day to worship the living God.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Makes no difference what's going on in the world. What matters is what's going on in the kingdom of God.
Come on now. Come on.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We have an awesome God who's guiding and directing his people. And you know, there is lots of persecution going on in the world toward Christians. But in those countries where they're being persecuted, Christianity is exploding.
Come on now.
Can't explain it, can you? Where they're persecuted, Christianity grows. Where we have freedom to worship, Christianity wanes. Why are we people like that? Why do we have to wait until there's such pressure on us before we seek after the living God? As a whole, you know, you're here this morning. I'm preaching to the choir when I say stuff like that. You're here because you believe. You're here at least because you're seeking. Maybe you're not a believer in Christ right now, but at least you're seeking Christ. You're seeking to know the truth. And that's why I'm here this morning, is to be able to share truth with you. How many know that truth is not always pleasant?
Come on now.
Hallelujah. You know, my mom, when I was growing up, she would tell me truth. She'd say, boy, I'm going to burn your behind if you don't do this or do that. That was truth. Because she followed through with it. God is crying out to the people in the world. There is judgment coming. Repent and turn to me.
Yes, sir.
He's given us everything that we need. He's given us his son, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on the cross in our place. And all we have to do is believe on him. It's incredibly easy, isn't it? I think sometimes it's too easy. People think they need to jump through a lot more hoops to get to God, but it's very simple. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, then, from there on, the difficult time begins, and that is living for Jesus Christ, living the godly life. What I want to talk to you this morning about, I want to start a new series, and I'm calling it Living the Dream. When Pastor Chris was here, most of you know Pastor Chris. He was our youth leader, and he moved on, got a job in Virginia?
Philadelphia.
Pennsylvania, okay. Yeah, and he and Brittany are doing great from what I hear. Also heard rumors that they may be moving back to Columbus area. Things are changing in their life, but I know this, God is going to use both of them for his kingdom.
Amen.
But anyhow, Pastor Chris, one of the things that when I would ask him how he's doing, he would say, I'm living the dream.
Yep.
Sure will. I could just hear him saying that. Living the dream.
Yep.
Well, you know, I want to talk to you this morning about living the dream. We can live the dream. Now, a lot of people think when you say living the dream, they're talking about the American dream. But what I want to talk to you this morning about is living the godly dream and how that we can live the dream that God has called us to live and accomplished his will in our lives. Because regardless of what is going on in our world, we can still live the dream, God's dream. God's purpose, God's direction. I love this country. It's wonderful that we have the freedom this morning to gather here and worship the living God. And that we have religious freedom, we have lots of freedoms, but I can tell you this, based on what I'm seeing taking place in this nation, our freedoms are being eroded away. And the decision that the Supreme Court made in regards to same-sex marriage is a declaration of war against God and His Word. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, what our government decides to do doesn't necessarily affect the church and the people of God, but it does. Indirectly, it's going to affect us, and then eventually it's going to directly affect us. Now, before we get into the message this morning, I do want to share what God's Word says about homosexuality, sodomy. Because it's important that we understand there is a difference between what the world does and what the church does, or at least there's supposed to be a difference. Not always is there a difference. In fact, lots of times, I believe part of the problem with the church today is the church looks so much like the world that the people can't distinguish between the two. And our actions and our decisions are based on worldly principles and worldly laws and directions rather than godly direction, godly principles and godly laws. First of all, I want to say, I do not hate homosexuals. But I must point out, like all sin, homosexuality is a sin. Adultery is a sin. Fornication is a sin. Bestiality is a sin. You know, these are the kinds of things that we have to deal with right now because of the issues in our society and the decisions that are being made by the highest court in our land that same-sex marriage is okay. What's it going to lead to? How far is it going to go? I don't think there's any limit. But what is the church going to do? That's what is extremely important. What are we going to do as believers in Jesus Christ? Let me read 1 Corinthians. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 5. Well, let's go to chapter 6. Now, listen, he is talking to the body of Christ. Listen closely. Verse 9 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." Listen closely to what he's saying. Some of you were that, were like this. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So he's saying to the people of the church, listen closely. I know this is the kind of behavior that you once walked in, but now you're believers and you no longer are that kind of a person. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb, which changes your lifestyle. He's talking to the church. Now, let's just go back to chapter 5, verse 9. "I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people." Now, if you just stop there, you'd say, okay, well, we have to isolate ourselves from the whole world based on what is happening in our society today. But he goes on to say, listen closely to what he says. "Yet I certainly did not mean with sexually immoral people of this world. world has a different set of standards than the church. And he says, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. You see, things were just as bad in Paul's day as they are today.
That's right.
You know, it wasn't any different. Human nature was the same. We tend to think, well, oh my gosh, the world is just so terrible now that it's all falling apart. We're all going to hell in a handbag. And the reality is, this is not the first time the world has been like this. The world is still going to be the world. The question is, what is the church going to be? This is what I want us to focus on in regards to what is happening right now in our society. He goes on to say this, but now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or idolater or a reveler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. He's telling us that the church of Jesus Christ has a responsibility, and that is to hold people accountable. Now listen, we don't condemn people who have habits and addictions. We work with them. We love them. We help them. We encourage them. And if a person has a particular sin in their life, we want to pray for them and get them delivered from that nonsense. Amen? That's not condemning. That's encouraging. That's supporting. That's being there for the body of Christ. However, Paul is talking to us about people who refuse the help and continue to live their life any way they want to. He says, separate yourself from them. There is a war in the body of Christ right now. And it has become full-blown and in your face on Facebook and in the media and everywhere you look today, because of this ruling about same-sex marriage. It suddenly brought a line of demarcation, a line of division between the church on one side and the church on the other side. And many who are calling themselves believers in Jesus Christ are condoning the homosexual lifestyle. Now, I'm telling you, don't condemn the people of the world. But if you're a believer, you cannot tell people it's okay to live this way. You cannot tell people who are committing adultery that it's okay. God's going to look. God's going to blink. You can't tell people who are worshiping other gods that it's all right. You see, all these things are lumped together. And if we are doing this in the church and we are condoning sin, we are doing what God said is as much an abomination to him as the people who do it. So our responsibility is not to condemn the people of the world, but to inspect the fruit of the church. And the church today, I don't do Facebook, but Tammy tells me all these things that are going on Facebook. And you see people who are claiming to be believers in Jesus Christ saying, this is a wonderful thing. This is incredible. Freedom, finally. Some are equating this with the civil rights movement for African Americans, and that's ridiculous. The truth is, we want to tell everyone, you can be free. You don't have to live that kind of lifestyle. You don't have to live any kind of lifestyle that is in rebellion to God. You can be free. A lot of people, I've heard people say that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was not sodomy or homosexuality. It was rebellion, and it was injustice. And I would have to agree to that to a certain degree. The scripture does say there was much injustice in Sodom and Gomorrah. Homosexuality was a symptom of that injustice and that rebellion. And what I have seen and what I have studied, that blatant, in-your-face homosexuality in a society is the last straw of rebellion before society is rejected by God. I want you to understand this morning, you're on God's side. Stand firm. Don't hate people. Don't care what they're doing. Do not hate them. Love them. Speak truth to them. And truth is, unless you repent of your sins and turn from them, regardless of what it is, you're destined for hell. Homosexuality is no different than any of these other sins. We cannot continue our lifestyle as we were before we believe in Jesus Christ. Church, the Southern Baptist Convention, the president, has made a statement that they will not, the churches in the Southern Baptist Convention, will not marry homosexuals. He should have that right. We'll see what happens. I hope, I haven't heard anything from the Assemblies of God, the Church of God. Has anybody, have you heard them make any kind of statements or anything? Man, they should all be rising up and standing on the same side with the Southern Baptist. I hope the churches of Jesus Christ will stand for what is right. There are certain denominations that are going to take a stand on the other side. They already have. So we're going to see a battle take place between the Bible-believing churches and what I would refer to as liberal churches, who do not believe that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, living Word of God. I stand on the side with the Southern Baptists. I don't know what that's going to mean for our future. I don't know. All I know is right and wrong is wrong. And when they call good evil and evil good, we're in some perilous times. Thank God. My God is greater. Is greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I want us to understand that salvation in Christ means freedom, not continued bondage to the things of the world. Not continued bondage to lifestyles that we were once in. If there isn't freedom, if there isn't deliverance in Jesus Christ, what did he come for? Just so that we can have pie in the sky and a sweet by and by? No. He came for freedom here on this earth. Power in our lives. To be able to walk the straight and narrow. Does that mean you won't fall off to the side once in a while? Absolutely you will, but he'll be there to pick you up and take you on. Salvation is in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall be saved. And then Paul teaches, live it. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen? All right. I'm off that soapbox. Going to move on. Living the dream. I want to talk about living the dream this morning. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to read verse 1 through 14. I quote this just about every Sunday. Not word for word, but close enough. And I get excited every time I open the Bible and read this. This is God not only speaking to the Israelis, the Jewish people, but this is God speaking to his people. And we are called by his name. Christians, Yeshua was our Lord and our Savior. Chapter 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your baskets and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Hallelujah. Your enemies are going to come against you and they're going to run off seven different directions in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory. Then the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouse and all which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as holy people to himself, just as he has shown to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Whew. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Now listen, we know that he was speaking directly to the children of Israel. However, any nation who recognizes God as their God can claim these scriptures in their life. And particularly as believers in Jesus Christ, because we are not of this world. Our kingdom is not a part of this world. We are a part of a kingdom that is greater than this world that we live in. Our kingdom that we belong to is the kingdom of God. And yes, it is in this earth because we are in this earth. And we are filled with the Spirit of God. But it's not part of the world system. We are living in a world system right now that has been set up by man. It's been established by man. The currency has been established by man. The world system that we live in, all the things that we do. Now listen, it's important that we understand that our early laws were established based on the Word of God, on the principles that we find in the Bible. So this nation has a heritage of recognizing the importance of the Bible in our society and establishing laws based on that. However, there is absolutely no doubt that we have strayed far from those basic principles. But that doesn't mean that the church should stray from those basic principles. The church must walk in those principles regardless of what the world does. and continue to recognize that if we walk in these principles, we will be blessed. You can claim every one of those blessings in your life. Every one. Because you're a child of the Most High God. When Moses gave these principles and these teachings to the children of Israel, he told them that they were a people of God, a people set aside by Almighty God to walk in His ways and be a light to the world. What are we as believers in Jesus Christ? We are a nation, a holy nation, according to the Word of God, a holy, righteous nation of people who are to share and shine the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. We're to do the thing that the Israel was first appointed to do. Therefore, because we are under this umbrella of receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and becoming a part of the kingdom of God, therefore we can walk in the blessings of God. They were the people of God, and they qualified. Here's what I want you to understand. They qualified for the blessings. I want you to see this morning that you are the head and not the tail. I want you to take that position in your life. You're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You have that position in spiritual realm. Amen. Now what we have to do is walk in that. And if we walk in that, then we can have or understand this favor that God has. Turn back to chapter 27 in Deuteronomy. Let's look at verse 9 and 10. Then Moses and the priests and the Levites spoke to all Israel, saying, "Take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God." You see, that day they became the people of the Lord their God because they believed what Moses was telling them. We become the people of the Lord our God because we believe what Jesus told us and what He did for us. The people of God. It's really important for us to grasp the concept of being a child of the Most High God. Because being a child of God makes you the head and not the tail. It makes you above. It causes you to have a special position in the spiritual realm that you can walk in the physical realm. If we couldn't walk it in the physical realm, what good would it do? Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God. And what did He do? He healed the sick. He cast out devils. He proclaimed the liberty to those who were in bondage. The acceptable year of the Lord. He did all these things in the natural. And He has given us the same ability, responsibility, and power in His name, to walk as head and not tail. The Hebrew word here, when we start reading about blessed, is baraka, and it's blessing. Webster says that blessing is to invoke divine favor on a person. We can invoke the divine favor of God because we have the right to, the privilege. We are allowed to come into the presence of Almighty God because of the blood of Jesus. Not because we're righteous, but because of His righteousness. And as we walk into the presence of Almighty God, that's a special place. Do you know that in ancient times, let's take this situation with Esther. You remember the story of Esther? She told Mordecai, she said, I can't go into the king. If I do, I'll die. Because you are not allowed to enter into the presence of the king without him summoning you to come in. The only way that you could do that, if you appeared before him and he would hold out a scepter and accept you. Well, I want you to understand, you have been accepted into the presence of Almighty God. Esther had God's favor. And Esther had the king's favor.
Yes, sir.
Our king.
Yes.
We have his favor in our life. This is a point that I need to drive home this morning, because I want to make sure that we understand how important it is to recognize who we are in Christ. The blessings that we read here in Deuteronomy are also some of the same blessings that were bestowed upon Abraham. Abraham, if you go back to Genesis chapter 12, you'll find out that Abraham was given special blessings in his life because God called him and he believed. It was because of his faith that he received these things. And in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." It's because we believe. That's why we have this special position and honor. He gave them power to become the sons of God, is what the King James Version says. And power is to give something to someone, to bestow a gift. He bestowed this gift upon us. And to become means the power of choice, the ability to do or to please. What he's telling us is that we have the power to choose to do something. We have the power in the body of Christ today to choose to do something. What are we going to do? What are we going to do about this decision that our government has made, the highest court in our land? Are we going to whine and complain and run in fear? Or are we going to stand up and say, regardless of what is being said, we know what the Word of God says. Regardless of what our law says, we know what the Word of God says. And are we going to be able to walk in love? Look, the most horrible thing we could do as a church is criticize and condemn homosexuals. What we need to do is just point them to the truth. Now, I want you to understand, they're not going to be real happy about that, some of them. So you will be accused of being judgmental and condemning, but in reality, you are loving. And on the day of judgment, you will be vindicated before Almighty God. Because you've done what he told Jeremiah, he said, if you go out and you proclaim the truth to people, their blood will be on their hands. But if you refuse, their blood will be on your hands. And you'll be held accountable for it. We don't want that. Now, it's not easy. It's not an easy situation that we are in. But being a believer in Jesus Christ is not meant to be easy. It's meant to be rewarding. I don't mean you're going to be happy all the time. I don't mean that everything that happens is going to make you jump for joy. But you know in your heart when you do the right thing, there's just something that rises up inside of you.
Yes, sir.
And it's satisfying.
Yes. Yes.
To know that you've said and done the right thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Galatians tells us, just like Abraham was blessed, that we are. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And in verse 9, that's Galatians 3:7, verse 9, he says, so then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Isn't that incredible? He, because of his faith, was blessed. and because of our faith, blessed. What's it mean to be blessed? The Greek word there means to cause to prosper, to make happy, to bestow blessings. The favor of God. If you are blessed, you have the favor of God. You qualify to be blessed because you have Christ as your personal Savior. Are you walking in those blessings? That's the thing. What did it mean for Abraham to be blessed of God? It meant that he walked in God's favor. Did Abraham always do the right thing? No, I can tell you, if you go back and read the life of Abraham, he made some poor decisions. Sometimes he made decisions out of fear. And that's not faith. When fear enters in, faith is negated. But he still had the favor of God. He was still seeking after God. I'm not telling you that if you make mistakes or you have these situations in your life, you have addictions or habits. God is not condemning you. I'm not condemning you. But if you are seeking after the living God, desiring to be free, seeking His best for your life, He absolutely will meet you and meet your need. I am convinced of that. I know my God. You are special. Now, I like to tell people that I am God's special believer. I'm God's special. I am absolutely special in the eyes of God. Amen. And I believe that. So are you. You're special. You're God's absolute special believer. He loves you that much. And you've got to believe that you're special in the eyes of God. That there's just something about you that makes you special. Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever had someone in your life that has made you feel special? You know, Tammy's mom was really good at that. I'll bet every one of her kids would say, I was her special child. Right, Terry? Jeannie? Okay. I know Tammy believes it. I mean, she just had that knack for making you feel special. And as an in-law, I felt like I was her special son-in-law. Above you, Dave. No. He said no. She just made you feel special. And one of the ways she made you feel special was that she would, if you liked something, you know, she would always have that fixed for you if she knew you were coming. She was just like that. Now, my mom is kind of like that, too. Although she doesn't necessarily fix, she does fix some things. But if for the family, if we like a certain snack, she goes out and buys it. Or certain pop. You know, I usually like Mountain Dew or a root beer. And I can always count on this, that there's going to be Mountain Dew and root beer in the refrigerator. Because I'm special. Absolutely. And honey buns. I'm telling you, she never runs out of honey buns. And I love honey buns. Owen loves honey buns. We're in competition for who can eat the most honey buns. Whatever it is, she just makes us feel special. We're a special child, special grandchild. That's who you are in Christ. You are so special in the eyes of God. And if we can catch hold of that, if we can recognize that we are special, I believe we will desire to do what is right and receive the blessings of God in our life. Because, you know, it makes me want to please my mother. It made me, with Eileen, it made me want to please her. I never wanted to do anything that would make her sad. And that's our relationship with our Father. Yes, when we know we're special, we want to please We have a desire to please Him. You are the head and not the tail. Listen to Psalms chapter 69, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. He daily loads us with benefits. I want to walk in those benefits that God has for us. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, the second thing I don't want to take too much longer here this morning, but I do want to talk about this a little bit. The second thing that I want to share with you is that it shall come to pass. Now, it says this in the first verse. Now, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord. Now, some of us would think, well, that means it's going to come and then it's going to go away. Well, that's not what this phrase is talking about. It actually is a Hebrew word that means to hear and to listen. It means to obey. So it's going to come to pass because you're going to hear the word of the Lord and you're going to apply it to your life. Now, Moses was very clear with the children of Israel that there are contingencies on receiving these blessings in your life. He tells them, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to serve Him. So that is our responsibility. It doesn't mean we are to be perfect. It means that we are diligently chasing after our God. That means what Jesus told us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. So with all of your being, you're going to be chasing after the living God. You know, one of the great joys of my life is to have my grandchildren around me. I love having my grandchildren. This past week has been great. We've had kids running in and out and through and over and everywhere, running from my house to my mom's house. Now, it's not such a joy for Tammy most of the time, all the time. I guess I shouldn't say all the time. Yeah. Not that she doesn't like having the children around, but you know, when you've got, how many do we have there? Five, six and seven, eight. I mean, that adds extra work, right? You know, it's easy for me to come in, sit down on the couch and kick back. But there's a lot of extra work that goes with it. But it's a joy. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm some lazy tyrant and I just sit back on the couch. I help. I do. That's right. I open the pop and get the honey buns. Hallelujah. But it's a joy to have those kids around. And you know what? What really just stirs me is when one of my grandkids just come up and run to me and put their arms around me. Owen is really good about that. He every time he sees me, he comes running and puts his arms around me. Oh, I love you, Papa. It just melts my heart. Yeah, that's what God is looking for. That's all He wants is a person who diligently loves Him with all their heart, soul, and mind, that comes running and puts our arms around God, says, oh, God, I love you. I need you. I want you. Amen. Amen. It shall come to pass. Now, Moses believed that this concept, that to hear and to listen and to obey, was so important that he used that same word three times in that verse. Now, it was translated differently by the translators. The first time, come to pass. The second time, diligently. And the third time, to observe. But it meant the same thing. It meant to hear, to listen, and to apply it. to your life. 8 times in the Gospels, Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear." He wants us to hear what he's saying. But he's not just saying, "I want you to hear." He's saying, "I want you to hear and apply these things to your life." Listen to me, body of Christ. It is very important that today we recognize the importance of the Word of God, particularly in our society right now. We must not allow the world to pull us in a direction that moves us away from God. It is time to get closer to God right now. I don't know what the future has in store for us, but I know that my God is still on the throne. And if I get close to Him, He has promised me that He will never leave me or never forsake me. Today is a day to get close to your God. Today is a day. Let me tell you something. Here's what I believe, and Ivy confirmed it to me this morning, that today is a day for all of us as believers to repent. It's a day to repent and get close to God. You may not think, "Well, I don't need to repent." I don't know whether you do or not. I don't care. All I know is that God is always ready for His people to repent and draw close to Him. And let me tell you, maybe you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you come to church all these years and you've never made that commitment to receive Christ. Today is the day to do that. Put all those things aside. Turn a new leaf. Come to Jesus Christ. Allow the blood of Christ to cleanse you. This morning, it's a morning of repentance. I'm going to ask Brother Otis to come on up. Everybody just stand up with me, if you would, please. If you guys lead us in something, I want to open up this altar this morning for anybody who would like to come up. Now, this is not a time of judgment on anybody. I'm going to be the first one here. And just pray and ask God. I want to get closer to God this morning. And if you've not received Christ as your personal Savior, you've never made that statement, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that He died on the cross. He rose on the third day." If you've never done that, today's the day to do that as well. In Jesus' name. Let us draw close to our God.
Yes, Lord.
Let us get everything that we can get from our God. He wants to bless you. He wants you to walk in these blessings in your life. But in order for you to walk in these blessings, you have to have ears to hear and a heart to believe. Hallelujah. This morning, I'm just going to open this altar up. Come, pray, seek His face. It's time for the church to get real with God. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.